Welcome to another edition of Feral and Fabulous. We have the most fabulous guest today. I love a husband and wife team. This is always so fun. So we have Marta and we have Brian Miller, and they are going to tell us they are actually both business owners. And so I am super excited to hear about the various businesses that they do. So Marta, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
And I want to know, you're at Stitch Texas.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about Stitch Texas and what's going on with that and how you got into it.
Yeah. So I got into the garment industry in 2004.
Okay.
So I've been designing and manufacturing clothes for a while.
You don't look like you're old enough to have been in the business since 2004. I'm totally blown away by that. So
yeah, I'm actually 44. So I appreciate that. So yeah.
Oh my God, I had no idea. Oh my gosh, I would not have guessed that. Okay.
Thank you. I rub beef tallow on my face.
Apparently, I mean something.
Obsessed.
I mean, I don't know. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. It looks amazing.
I will. Thank you. I try. So yeah, I have been designing and manufacturing clothes for many years. I started my own brand and realized, oh my God, this is really hard to get anybody to pay attention to you. So I kind of just started bringing everything in-house so that I could kind of control it and, you know, obviously pay attention to it myself.
Right, right.
And then...
But can you just go back a minute and tell me when you said you brought everything in-house, what does that mean?
Yeah,
I just want to make sure everybody understands
so
that.
So when you're manufacturing a garment, say I'm making this dress,
yeah.
I have to like find the fabric. I have to make a pattern. I have to make a sample. I have to make sure it fits a size 2 to a size 14. So there's all of this like back end development that goes on every single garment we wear.
Okay.
And so we started bringing in all the different players under one roof in Los Angeles. So we have pattern making, technical designers, cutting, sewing, like fit technicians. So we brought everything in house in LA, kind of all under one roof for my own kind of needs, because nobody would pay attention to me.
So do you have to go out to Los Angeles a lot?
I do.
Okay.
I travel a lot to LA.
I did not know that.
And she doesn't mean customers. Customers were paying attention. It was the production, the supply chain that wouldn't pay attention.
Really? Interesting. Very interesting.
I could get their attention, but the manufacturing, like nobody wants to help a small brand.
Got it. When
they can just run, you know, 20,000 units per Gap. Like, why would you
understand, focus
on 200 units for a brand new customer?
Yes, understand.
So it was just really hard. So then I have an incredible team in LA. We built this business in LA. And I always worked with this company in Austin called Stitch Texas. And we moved here kind of COVID.
Yeah.
Crazy times.
Okay.
And while...
So did you move from LA?
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
So
very cool.
So we kind of had always wanted to come home. We met in Houston, but we both like had our own aspirations to live in LA. And LA kind of raised us as a couple.
Wow. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We spent 15 years in LA as a couple.
Love it.
She still goes back. I prefer not to go to California ever again, if I can help it.
Yes, I could tell actually by the look on your face and response to my questions about LA that you were not a fan.
It's so funny. There was so much about LA that just like even parking stressed him out, you know?
Okay.
But I love LA. LA is like my home.
I understand. So question for you guys right now. Lakers or Spurs?
Well, that's easy. Even when we were in LA, it was the Spurs.
Okay. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've
fantastic.
Got, we've got two little Spurs fans. We have gone to two games this season.
Love it. Okay.
Yeah. We know our roots. We always did.
I'm down with that. Okay, cool. Well, continue.
We were always Texans living in LA, and we got married in Marble Falls, actually.
Okay.
Because both of our families live here.
Okay. Very cool. I love that.
So COVID brought us home.
Okay.
And then I had always worked with Stitch Texas because they didn't manufacture. They did kind of what Lefty did, but just on the development end.
Okay, so tell me what Lefty's all about.
So Lefty does all the design, engineering, development, and the production.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And so we mass produce in Los Angeles and in other countries.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But Stitch Texas only did the development and would sometimes come to us as Lefty. It's a pretty small industry.
Okay.
And so they would come to us and say, hey, we have this client. Do do you think we can get a quote from them for production?
Oh, okay.
So I knew them that way. And we were in 2020 kind of talking like, how could we combine our efforts more?
Right.
And then the woman that started the company had passed away and her sweet widow was keeping it going.
Okay.
And he's like, this is not my industry.
Understand.
This is not my business.
Right. Right.
And so he offered to sell it to me.
Okay.
And we jumped on the opportunity because there was this incredible team there. I was able to, you know, save all the employees'
yeah.
jobs.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like the most incredible team. I love them so
much.
What
a great story.
So I kind of have let them kind of keep, they had their own vibe
sure.
and everything.
Yeah.
So I've been working really hard, like to kind of
keep that in place.
Totally.
Okay.
Do your thing. You be a little different, but we can add these production services that cool. we were never able to add now that like we have domestic production
okay.
in LA
sure.
and we can
sure.
help our Texas clients with that.
Right.
Or we had this like overseas arm that they didn't have. So
okay.
we've been able to kind of build it and grow it. And, you know, with brands being able to sell direct to consumer now.
Right.
I mean, we have so many clients in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Like it used to be like you couldn't be a brand if you weren't in LA or New York.
Right.
But that is totally changing.
I know.
That landscape.
I feel like that's so true of other industries as well, right?
It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, probably in Austin alone, there's like 40 brands now.
Are
it's
you
insane.
Serious? Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
There's
that's super
such
cool.
such a founder's market now.
Okay. Okay.
So it's really a cool time.
Very, very cool. So tell me, what kind of like long range plans do you have for Stitch Texas?
You know, as far as like my major plans, like in growth strategy,
yeah. Yeah.
I am all about when you have an amazing team, you
yeah.
have to know how to build it
yeah.
to continue to grow them.
Right.
So
right.
as somebody's with you for, I feel so fortunate to have employees that have been with me for 15, 17
Gosh,
years.
That's crazy.
And when you have that like amazing thing,
yeah.
you have to build something that can grow with them too.
Right. Right. It's kind of like you have lightning in a bottle and
yeah.
you just want to make sure that you keep you want the bottle to get bigger, but you just want to keep the things that are floating around inside to be consistent and that same kind of cool vibe.
Totally. Totally. So I don't really like, I've done a lot of soul searching. I'm never going to sell it. I don't really have plans to exit. So when
okay.
you don't have plans to exit, you can kind of keep it nice and tight.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sustainable.
Let it go where it will.
Exactly.
Oh, very cool. Very
yeah.
cool. No, I love that. No. And tell me a little bit about, I mean, Brian, I know you've got a different thing that you do entirely, jewelry. So tell me a little bit about that. Name of
yeah.
your company, all of that stuff.
Absolutely. So the company is Written in Gold.
Okay.
What we do is we transform your loved one's handwriting, their handwritten messages from cards or letters, into fine jewelry. So Marta's got a couple
oh,
of examples
yeah, please,
here.
Please, please, please.
She's wearing a bracelet that says Love Richard in her dad's handwriting.
Oh my gosh, that is beautiful.
And that's yellow gold with pave diamonds.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Oh,
thank you.
Very nice.
She's got a necklace in her mother's handwriting.
Ah.
Says baby girl. That's
oh my gosh, I love
gold
that.
With pave.
Oh my gosh, that is beautiful.
Thank you. And then the earrings. She's our perfect model for today, but these say Love Always Dad, and that's in her dad's handwriting.
Oh my gosh. Oh, how cool that
yeah.
you can take somebody's handwriting and then turn that into like a piece that will be with you forever.
Totally. Absolutely. That was the inspiration. So my grandfather was a jeweler as a hobby. He was a doctor, but he had a workshop in his house.
I
and
knew
he, would
he
make...
was a doctor. I did not know he was a
jeweler.
He was a jeweler on the side.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is getting more fascinating by the minute.
So he had like
the skill,
these
yeah.
little like this like technical like ability
so,
to work
oh
with his hands.
Oh my gosh, what a cool thing!
He had a whole workshop in his house, and he would make the molds, and then he would go to the jewelry school and use their casting equipment to actually cast the gold pieces.
Oh my gosh!
And so that was always in my life. And he actually taught me in elementary school to bead necklaces, to
yeah.
you know, string beads onto wire.
Yeah.
And so I did that and was able to sell a few pieces actually in fifth grade.
Are you kidding? I sold a couple of necklaces. You were entrepreneurial even in elementary school. This is like my fantastic.
My fifth grade teacher and my principal. So that was my early.
You're my spirit animal. I love that. I think that's so cool.
Yeah. And so it's always been an interest of mine throughout my relationship with Marta. I've been designing pieces for her. We were in LA, so we had immediate access to the LA jewelry district.
Yeah.
So I would go down there, work with jewelers and make things for her, starting with her engagement ring.
I love that. Oh, my gosh.
I know. I mean, lucky girl.
Exactly. That is so cool. So you're designing, you know, the wardrobe and then you're, you know, putting all the jewelry on with just amazing pieces.
She's been my muse this whole time.
Yes. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. And what an amazing muse
she
you are.
She wears it well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that is fantastic. So how long have you been doing that?
So we've been married, what, 12 plus years? Is that right? Did I get it right?
Okay.
14 years? I said 12 plus. That's right.
Plus.
12 plus is 14.
In San Antonio, we would say más menos.
And we've been together longer than that.
Yeah.
But we've batted back and forth various jewelry brand ideas over the years because it's something that's always been interesting to me.
Absolutely.
There's a pile of ideas, and some of them we may bring back to life. But
love it.
This particular idea, the written in gold idea, was actually inspired by Marta's father, who we lost very recently. So she can tell that part of the story.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, please do tell.
So my dad had my mom, like in the 80s, write her name a bunch of times. And so my mom, to this day, literally has never taken off this necklace that says her name. It says Judith. And it's just always been so beautiful. And, you know, as a little girl, you're like, Daddy, where's mine?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, life happened. I never got one. Well, I got one on my 40th birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he gave me this 40-year-old birthday present that said, we love you, and it's his handwriting.
Okay, you're going to make me cry on air. It's getting ready to happen. That is so amazing.
I know. And so it was his handwriting, we love you, with a little family diamond in the middle. And then my mom's handwriting, we love you.
Oh.
And it's like, and when he gave it to me, I wore it a few times. And he's like, you know what? Put it away. You'll need it one day. And so then, of course, I did.
Yeah.
And the second, I think the morning he died, I'm like, hey, we have a little like, you know, jewelry box. I'm like, will you bring me that necklace? And Brian brought it down. And then I was like, what an awesome gift.
Oh, absolutely.
And then
absolutely.
Like, and then
I mean, it's like a gift you will cherish forever. It's so special. I love that.
It's so special. And, you know, it's one of those times in life where it's like, you know, I was like, has to be a thing, you know.
Yeah.
You look at it and you're like, and I'm like, no, it's not really. I mean, it's done in a cheesy engrave somebody's way, but to actually cast their handwriting in gold.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's so special,
unique, and so
incredible.
Then I watch brands all the time, and I'm a very big believer. Most factories push you to make 1,000 units.
I wondered about that. I was so curious. That was actually one of the questions I wanted to ask you, if there is pressure to do that kind of thing.
There's so much pressure.
Okay.
And that's the only reason why people will really come to me, because I'm like, I'll grow with you. If you need to start with 50, 100 units, let's do it. Let's get your name out there. So I've always been this very big made in America,
keep it
small.
You're my spirit animal too. Oh my gosh. I have a couple that are both my spirit animals. I love it.
Do it stateside, you know, and keep it small and let it grow organically. So I've always been a very low inventory gal.
Gotcha.
For all my brands. And I've always
been. That's so smart though. It's so smart.
It's just inventory kills companies. And this is, I was like, this is a custom one of a kind thing.
Yeah.
Every order is its own piece. And so it's been really special.
I love that. You know, I was just having a conversation with a client actually earlier today, ironically, about the fact that we feel like so many brick and mortar stores are going away because of the whole inventory problem, where it's so expensive to hold inventory. And yet when you reduce your inventory and people come to the store and then they can't get the size they want, it kind of defeats the whole purpose of having the brick and mortar. And so it's like a vicious cycle that kind of like is, I think, taking out businesses that have brick and mortar one store at a time.
Right.
But to be able to get what you're talking about, to be custom ordered specifically to what you want, is so cool. I love that.
And, you know, there's a whole there's a whole losing somebody special piece to it.
Oh my gosh.
But then
absolutely.
Also, like, our kids grow up and the sentimental value of their adorable
You can't put a price tag on that.
When they were 6 years old, when they're like 14 you know, we just made one for an amazing influencer we love. And it says, "I love you, Mom." And it, her son like wrote it like, you know, he just kind of scratched it out and she kind of kept it.
You're
going to
have me crying the whole episode.
That's been popular these last few weeks, the Mother's Day pieces, the children's handwriting, because, they're only young for a while.
And absolutely, for a minute.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, you guys have kids, but I mean, it's like the time. It's like, what is the saying? It's like the days are long, but the years are so fast.
That is how it feels.
It's so crazy because it's so true. I think the older I get, the more I realize how true that really is. And so how timeless what you do is, both in the design of the, you know, of the garments and the jewelry. I mean, those are things that you can have for a lifetime and beyond.
Yeah, it's super sweet. I think the Mother's Day kind of play is just so sweet. And I think, you know, moms and grandmas are wearing name necklaces. So we made one recently that was all the kids wrote their own name.
Interesting.
You know, so it's kind of taking the play on like how, you know, because it's so fun to wear like, you've got seven grandkids, like wear all their names. And
oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
And layering's very popular right now. So multiple tags on the same chain.
Yeah. So how does that work? Tell me a little bit about layering, because I know it's a thing right now. And I think, I'm not sure everybody knows what that means.
We're about to introduce a couple of new styles in the next few weeks.
Okay.
Right now we've got necklaces, bracelets, and earrings, but we're going to have a pendant style so that you can put it on your own chain or purchase the chain from us. But that'll allow you to stack with multiple chains or with a separate necklace, you know, 3-4 necklaces at the same time and have that very popular layered.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. No, I love that.
And it'll allow you to build over time. So you've got two grandkids now, but when you have three, when you have four, you can keep adding.
You can just keep adding as you need.
Right.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So tell me the different metals that you work with.
So primarily we work in 14 karat gold, yellow, white, or rose, but we are happy to customize.
Okay.
Because every piece is unique, we have the opportunity to customize pretty much any detail.
Right.
So if a customer contacts us and wants to make it in platinum or even silver, we can do that. We can also use different kinds of stones. We made a piece in diamond for one of Marta's friends, actually. And her sister wanted the same piece, but with emeralds. And so we made the piece in emerald for her.
Oh my gosh.
So we can do all that.
I love that. This is incredible. Well, just with those three options, you really are covering all the different color palettes, if you will, I think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because white gold could, I mean, it looks like silver, whatever. It has that same color tone to it. So do you ever design clothing to match particular jewelry or not so much?
There's an idea.
Not so much, I would say, because I don't really have my own brand.
Okay.
I only service other people's vision.
Gotcha.
So
I didn't know if you would guide them toward, you know, this particular outfit would look really good with this particular kind of jewelry. Because, you know, on the red carpet, there's designers that are doing that, right? That they would design a piece of clothing to fit a certain piece of jewelry or vice versa.
Yeah, I would say we're more like the back end of people's brands.
Okay, understand.
And letting them kind of, like, we implement their vision more.
Okay.
So we're more like helping them build, like, be the back office. So it's when a brand is small, and us a lot of times, like, we work with a lot of doctors, right? And a doctor has an idea, and a doctor's like, we just made like a lab coat that's warm for anesthesiologists because they're in a freezing.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh my gosh!
So a lot of
you're doing garments that are even outside the fashion world. Just
Stitch
like,
Texas in particular gets very interesting projects like
that.
Yeah,
so
I
most
love
of our
this.
Clients
this is fascinating.
Are even like I would say half of our clients are fashion focused, and half of our clients are like we're making like medical equipment.
Oh my gosh!
So we're more like the back end and the back office of like the design, the supply chain, and
that
all
is
of
so
that.
Fascinating. I've just gotten back on a kick. My husband will back me up on this. I've been watching Grey's Anatomy again from the start, you know.
Oh, fun.
And so I'm thinking that could be fashion forward to where everybody could have these cool garments, you know, in the medical world. But I mean, it's a thing. That's so cool. I didn't even know that you got involved in those type projects.
Yeah, that's, I'd say that's a, like, you know, because a lot of people, we're really supporting entrepreneurs, right? So a lot of people all different have an kinds. Idea and they're like, and you know, how do you know how to make, like, I'm making a tennis elbow wrap.
I was just like, going to say.
That's like fashionable.
And what about pickleball? Right? Because we've just heard so much recently, on especially on the podcast, on pickleball, tennis, all the different sports that are becoming, you know,
I'm
more popular.
I'm making like really cool pickleball handkerchiefs and a pickleball bag and pickleball skorts. Like, yeah. So people come with an idea that are oftentimes like never even, they don't even know how to sew. Like they have no, like this is not their thing, but they have this like interesting idea and then we help them implement it.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. So tell me, and I kind of have an idea based on what you guys have already been talking about. How much interaction do you guys have with each other's businesses? Like, do you help each other actively have input on, hey, that's cool, that's not cool, or I like that, not like that, or whatever? Or do you kind of like from afar say, oh, that's good, but you kind of stay in your own worlds?
I'm interested to hear his thoughts. So I'll
okay.
let
him. Marta and I.
Okay.
I know.
Brian's going to be on the hot seat first. So
we take a divide and conquer strategy to our relationship. We both have very different strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
We're very compatible, but extremely different people.
I love that.
In how we take care of our house and our kids and our professions, we're just different brained people. And so we collaborate really well together. Absolutely. I run every idea by her.
Okay.
When she's got any kind of a business challenge, personnel challenge, we talk through all of it. So we're each other's advisors.
Yeah.
But we let each other run.
I love that.
Where we have confidence in our
ideas. I can't wait to get to the next segment of Feral or Fabulous because y'all are going to each have your own individual paddles. And I cannot wait to see how that turns out.
We're so different in that way.
Yeah.
But I would say if I had to give, because I sometimes will teach at like a school or something or give advice to the younger generation. And I'm like, I think the most important decision you make is in who you marry. Like that is the number one.
Amen, sister.
Biggest decision you make.
Yes.
I feel like I married this, like I have wanted to give up 1,000 times.
Yeah.
He's never let me give up. He never really want, like we knew we wanted kids. We have 3 kids.
Oh,
like we would have never been able to build this life if we didn't build a company for me.
Right.
Because
right.
How do you like pick up your kids? I have a soccer game to go to today.
Yeah.
I'm in, we kind of like, originally I kind of like wanted to be a housewife, but then had this like,
I didn't let her.
That was apparently that did not happen at all. Not even close.
But he did allow me to kind of always, I've owned my own company since I was 26.
That's
so
incredible.
He kind of allowed me to do this.
Yeah.
While he, you know, grinded himself in finance jobs and all of these other things. And I've always, you know, I'm like, oh, there's this insurance thing we have to fill out. You're really good.
No, but
at
you know what? Yeah. It's so great to have a partner though that you can grow with, that is not going to confine you to be like, you have to stay in this little block. And if you get outside this block, I'm out. Yeah. You know,
totally.
So I think that's so cool that you guys are able to work, like you said, individually, but also collaborate. Can I say that? Collaboratively? Is that a word?
Yeah.
It just is now.
Yeah.
We just made that up. But anyway, I think that is so, I think that's so unique and fun.
Yeah. And there's been just so many times that the companies needed to transition. I mean, COVID, I thought I'd shut down the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we immediately started making, we got a contract with Kaiser Permanente and we were making masks and gowns in the United States, which hasn't been done here since like the 60s, you know? So, so he's helped me transition.
We were at
life.
The park with our kids during COVID and I said, you should call Kaiser, give him a call back. Like that could be a good one.
Yeah.
See, that's so great. To me, just that interaction is so great. And I also think there's something cool about the dynamic of the female and male energy that's very different.
Yeah.
And so I feel sometimes it's cool to have somebody else's perspective because, again, what we as females may think, oh, this is so cool, whatever. It's really nice to have kind of a male perspective because right or wrong, whether we agree or disagree, it's always interesting to hear what their perspective is because, again, let's face it, almost half the world is, you know, of the other persuasion. So you want to hear what everybody has got to say on it. And to me, it's fun and makes it more interesting.
Yeah. And I think about, like, you know, I used to, when I was building Lefty, I was, we had a newborn at the time when we were building Lefty.
Oh my gosh.
I would be at the office from all day, and I brought my newborn. And
you
so
did? I was just going to ask you that question.
Oh, I had a baby on my hip the whole time. The
oh
whole time.
Oh my gosh.
And I'd be at the office all day with a baby, and I'd come home and we would lay in bed. Like, I mean, this is like in our early 30s, but we would lay in bed together and just, I'd come home and I'd have like 160 emails. Cause I was like physically just meeting customers.
Yes.
Like I was just not,
you had a lot going
on
in
my inbox. Right. And he would just sit there and like do my emails with me till like 11 p.m. So, when we look back at our lives and we're like, oh, wow, we built this thing. It's
together.
Like, there was many years where we just were like, oh, we were so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It was so
How
much.
Can you not be?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Incredible. No, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, we've been talking a lot about your businesses and stuff like that. I'd love to dig into, what do you guys like to do for fun? Do you have any time? Because if you have three kids, and I know that you were talking, they're in basketball, they're in all kinds of, you know, activities. What do you do for fun?
Well, this summer we got to go to Portugal to look at factories, but also we had so much fun. That
okay,
was great.
So you can turn a little bit of the work into a little bit of fun.
So we get a little bit of that.
Did you take the kids?
No, we went alone. It was amazing.
Okay, that sounds like a lot more fun. So how was Portugal?
It's amazing, and it was so fun to see the factories, and we work with them a lot. So.
Oh, my gosh.
They're investing in their garment industry, whereas America is not. And
that's,
you can
so
see it. There are these gleaming factories everywhere.
Oh,
really?
It's a priority industry.
I did not know that.
It's in an amazing country. It's like the
that
wine's
so
amazing.
Cool.
The culture's amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing.
How's the food? I'm a foodie.
Oh, it was. We loved Portugal. The fish was delicious. We would go into the country and it's like these shoe factories are like in these wineries. Like it's
built into hilltops.
Really?
It's gorgeous. The countryside is stunningly beautiful, and the people are so kind and warm.
Really?
And we love working with them.
How was the weather?
Amazing. If you have not been to Portugal, it's like as great as Italy. It's amazing.
Really?
It's an amazing European country. We loved it.
Oh my gosh. So what kind of food did you eat? I love
a lot of fish.
Yeah,
a lot of fish.
And you like fish?
Oh, I love fish. Yeah.
Do they have anything that's like non-fish, but like what's a delicacy there? Like what would you say is the...
Like Porto wine is like...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Port wine.
I like Porto wine.
Okay.
Yeah, from Porto.
But yeah. Okay.
But the port wine, I would say, was like their biggest like kind of...
thing.
Yeah. And just their culture, you know, it's like Europe, like their culture is...
Is it very similar?
We like were so tired one day. We went to a dinner and it was on the ocean. And so we wanted to go like on a walk, like after we wanted to just digest our food and walk the ocean before it got too dark. And we tried to leave a restaurant after like 2 hours, you know, and they're like, did we offend you?
Yeah, you didn't have dessert.
Are you kidding?
This is an experience. Like, you don't rush out.
They expect you to stay that long.
Like,
stay,
for 4 hours.
Do the courses.
Yeah. And they were like,
we're Americans. We're ready. We're done.
Yeah.
We're full.
Oh, my God.
Like, time for the next thing.
No, we just want to go and walk the beach.
Oh, my God.
But they were like, did we not do a good job for you? Like, why are you leaving? You know? And it's like, just being in that culture and being like, why are we leaving? You know? Like,
yeah.
Let's just keep our conversation going.
I love that. So what are the hours? I'm curious about this. What are the hours of operation in Portugal of a restaurant? Because I've heard varying things about like European.
It started later.
Right. That's what I've heard, that they open later and they stay open till really late.
Mm-hmm. We went to this one restaurant. We work with the guy. He's an employee of Lefty. And so his name's Pedro. And he's like, we have to go to this one restaurant. And we pulled up, I think like 4:35.
Okay.
And by 6, it was like a 2 hour wait. Like, it was a huge wait. And
a 2 hour wait? That's incredible.
It was incredible. But we got there and we were like the first, you know, because you can't even take a rice. And it was the most delicious meal. And so we got there early.
But so they, you could be though, but you could sit down and literally be there for 2 to 4 hours.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they do not rush.
But we got made fun of because you're not supposed to start dinner at 5 o'clock.
Got it. But you got in because of that, right?
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Totally. Sometimes you got to do whatever, right?
Totally.
When in Portugal.
But they take breaks in the middle of the day to go home, prepare
that's
themselves, home cooked meals.
Yeah.
That's very important to them.
Yeah.
They don't want to commute.
Yeah, they take like an hour. The lunch is like an hour and a half for like a lunch break. So you can go home, be with your kids, be with your family, like make a steak quickly. You know, they're not like trying to get a microwave meal in, you know.
Right. They are just doing it right.
Totally, totally
different.
It's a whole
different mindset.
I know. It was so lovely. So, of course, we love that. But I love being with our kids. We have, like, so much fun with them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we live on Lake Travis, so we do a lot of our friends have boats, so we're like always
very
like,
cool.
Our kids love to go tubing, and so that's a big kind of part of our
lives. You like
lives.
To do stuff on the water. Okay.
Yeah. So,
very cool.
So I feel like we have a good balance, and you know, we're pretty family focused.
Yeah.
So.
You know, absolutely. You know, it's so funny. If I did not know that you were related to Amanda, I would have guessed that.
Really?
No. Really?
And you know what? I'm surprised I'm even saying that, but absolutely. It's so weird because she's been on the podcast before, and I'm telling you, there is a vibe. There is a look. There is a familiarity. I'm just telling you. And so, I love that. That's so cool. So, and it probably all started with your grandfather, who was the jeweler / doctor / who knows what else.
That's
so
it.
Very cool.
Yeah. And we're so lucky to be back in Texas and have so much family here.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely.
Been, that's been like a huge thing.
And that sounds like that was kind of your goal all along, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you met in Houston.
We met in Houston.
How were you in Houston initially? What?
We always joke.
How did you end up there?
We always joke that our dead grandparents brought us together.
Okay.
Like, and I really do believe it. Like, I had buried my grandma the day we met. And we met at his cousin and my brother's high school graduation party.
Okay, and that's
very
random.
Wholesome at my aunt's house in Houston.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And we were both about to move to LA. Like it was like the
but
summer.
But you were both
college.
Living in Houston.
No, he was in San Antonio.
Were you? Okay.
And I was in Houston. I had just moved to LA, but then my grandma passed away. So I came back to be with her.
So you were just in Houston randomly.
The only reason I was in Houston is because I accompanied my grandfather on the drive from San Antonio because my grandmother had passed away. So he needed somebody to keep him company.
That's
and
so,
so
crazy.
We met at this like little private school graduation party.
Yeah.
And we were both going to move to LA and he wanted to be in film and I wanted to be in fashion. So we were, you know, the year out of college, right?
Yeah.
And we just had our like aspirations to go like live in LA.
Oh my gosh. And
so
just
cool.
Randomly meeting like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is incredible.
And then like it kind of like raised us. And then, you know, like as we got, we were like, oh, it'd be so great to like move to Texas one day. But like, how is it possible?
Until remote work, it wasn't even feasible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So COVID kind of is what paved the way.
Changed our lives.
Yes, 100%. It totally did.
We would have never, I wouldn't even leave the office. Like if I had a wedding on a Friday, I would go to the office and work Friday morning.
Really?
And catch that flight in the evening. Like I wouldn't even spend a half an afternoon away from the office.
Wow.
At the beginning. So to be away and
what
let
are
it
the odds?
And trust my team and have to like learn how to trust the systems I built has been like an incredible challenge for me.
Love it.
And the team grew because of it.
Yeah.
They grew. They took responsibility. They took ownership.
I love that.
They don't want to be micromanaged. Nobody wants to be micromanaged.
No, that's so true.
So the second I walked away, they were like, They grew and, you know, it was amazing.
Blossomed, Oh, I love that. What a great story.
Yeah.
Well, it's been so fun to talk to you guys. Oh my gosh. You are definitely a friend of the podcast, friends of the podcast, and we will have you back again.
Absolutely.
We barely scratched the surface on all the things I wanted to ask you, but I can't wait to have you back. So awesome.
I love it.
Cool.
Fun.
Awesome. Welcome to the next part of the podcast, which is called Feral or Fabulous. You guys have your trusty paddles. So they have Feral on one side, Fabulous on the other. I have several topics that I'm going to be asking you guys about. And you have no idea what the words are.
Ooh.
I do, but I want to know what you're going to say about them because like I said, you're such a fun and fascinating couple. I can't wait to see what your answers are. Okay. Random donuts. you're simpatico on that. Feral.
We're on a health kick.
Yeah, we're on a health kick.
Is that why?
I the seed oils, you know.
Okay. I would say feral as well. Yeah. I here's the thing.
They're not my favorite.
I like the way they taste, but I don't like the way they make me feel. And no. I didn't, exactly. I mean, I knew that they were unhealthy. Don't get me wrong. I knew that was a fact, but I didn't know why exactly they were unhealthy. But I know that after I eat a donut, I feel like I am, like I have a block of concrete in my stomach for the rest of the day.
Not worth
and
it.
I don't feel good. And so I feel like it kind of sets me off on the wrong foot. And the rest of the day, I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, you know? So I was curious because I have some friends that are obsessed with donuts. Like they're donut connoisseurs. Ooh. And they can tell you all the different donut shops and like, and these make their donuts this way and this way. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, gross. I don't know of a donut that likes me back, you know?
Well, we're coming from a parent's perspective, which is to say we don't want donuts anywhere near our kids.
Okay, that's a great, no, that's great though.
Sugar but is like such a drug.
It
like,
is. Oh just, my gosh, it so is.
Such a drug. It should it be is. Like, no, it should it's, be monitored a lot
I totally
more
agree. I totally agree with you. No, and I have a problem. I am known as the sugar pusher around here. And of course, I have a problem with it myself. And so I have to push it on to other people so that I don't eat it all myself because I, like I said, I love sugar.
We have two very hyper boys and we don't need to give them.
And you don't need to pound.
We don't need to give them like one gram of sugar to make them more hyper. Right. Like we are struggling.
They're plenty. Yes. They're plenty active as it is. They don't need any sugar enhancement in their
life.
Like
a couch to them is a trampoline.
Our baby girl can have whatever she wants. Okay. She's pure sweetness. She can, there's no rules for
it.
Her.
I love it. Oh my gosh. No, I totally appreciate that whole statement. Okay. So card games.
Oh, fabulous.
Fabulous. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You guys are very, okay. Yeah. You're two for two. That's very interesting. Any particular card games that you like?
So I'm a big Mahjong and Rummy fan.
Okay.
I love those
Very
games.
Cool. I love that.
So it's more tiles than cards.
Yeah. Okay. But still. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then for cards, I would say Spit. Is it good?
I haven't played Spit in years.
That's our 12-year-old coming home from camp.
I know. I love that, though. I haven't played Spit in so many years. I'd even forgotten about the game until you brought it up.
It's so fun. So we do a lot of Spit.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. How about you? Any particular card games?
Yeah, I'd say Gin Rummy is a fun one.
So you're into that? Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. Any, like, do you play Hearts, Spades, anything like that? Any poker?
No poker.
No, okay.
No,
it's probably time to teach the kids a little poker.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's a fun skill because it teaches, you know, how to have a poker face, it teaches them how to kind of like camouflage emotions and, but also demonstrate emotions. And I think it can be a nice learning tool, you know, and if they ever decide to go to Vegas, maybe they can put it to use and be successful and win a little money, you know? So who knows? Okay, cool.
I love it.
Okay. Koi ponds.
Oh, fabulous.
Oh, my gosh.
His dad actually has a huge koi pond.
My dad is a koi lover.
I did not know that.
I mean, like koi fish that are like 30 years old. Right?
Like childhood koi fish, yeah.
Oh, like, my gosh. I had no idea. Yeah.
Huge. And he is actually.
I love koi ponds.
He is a huge, you'll have to go over to their house. He loves bonsais.
Yes.
Huge bonsai garden. And he uses the koi pond fish water.
For the bonsai?
To fertilize them.
Oh my gosh.
And his green thumb is amazing. And it's that water is always used for all the plants.
Oh, that is so cool. And I had no idea about this. I mean, I had not ever.
Fun.
And bonsais. I love bonsais as well, but I didn't even think of the combo of using the bonsai water to.
We'll need to have you over one of these days.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
This is really so exciting.
Who knew that this was going to lead to that? I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Okay. 3D movies. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Y'all are 4 for 4. I'm not sure this has happened. Has it? I don't know that we have gone 4 for 4 before. That is kind of incredible.
Nauseous.
That is.
Not my jam.
I am the same. And you know what's crazy? I have had the same thought every time you have held up the paddle, it's what I would have said.
Oh, I love that.
I'm not sure I have had that happen. That is really weird. Y'all truly are my spirit animals.
We got the vibe down.
Yes. Yes. I'm telling you, it's a thing. That is so crazy. Oh, my gosh.
That's not how I want to spend my time.
No, 3D movies. And most of the time, the movies that they put in 3D, I'm not a fan of anyway.
Yeah.
And so then to make it 3D, and like you said, the nausea, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just not a fan of 3D movies at all.
Yeah.
So, and yet I have friends that are like obsessed with them. They think it's so cool to have things like coming at them and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'd rather sit back and enjoy and relax during the movie and not be like feeling like I'm trying to be impaled, you know, by something, you know, even if it's artificially impaled.
Yeah, it's not relaxing.
Yeah,
it's
not like at all. Not at all.
Major like cortisol like raise.
Okay. Well, this is getting exciting. Okay. Next topic. I'm getting a little nervous. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Reggae music.
Oh, fabulous.
I like it.
Fabulous.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Five for
Hard
five.
Hard to argue with that, Bob Marley.
And yeah, Bob Marley.
No, me too. I love reggae. I don't listen to it often, but honestly, you have it on at a party, I'm out there on the dance floor because love reggae. I think it is so cool. It's such a vibe, you know, thing.
Oh, my God. And it's such a vacation vibe,
it
right?
It is a vacation vibe. I love that.
It just makes you feel like you're in Hawaii.
Exactly. It's such a – how can you be mad listening to reggae?
Yeah, yeah.
You just can't. I don't think the two can coexist,
totally
right?
Impossible.
It's just kind of like a, I love it. So – anyway, we'll have to have a little reggae going in the background.
Yeah, it's
so.
A good vacation vibe.
Okay, guys, we are five for five, both you guys and us collectively. This All is right. like, okay, pressure is on. Last one, baseball.
Farrell.
Oh, my gosh. And, okay, I'm not going to even give my answer, but I think the producers can tell me, do I like baseball? Okay, it's unanimous.
I mean, I grew up in San Antonio. We had the missions, right?
No, I understand, but I don't like baseball either.
We like
and almost everybody I know loves baseball because it's America's like sport, right? But I don't like it.
My kids, well, we push basketball, but the main reason was I was like, I can't ruin my face. Like, I cannot sit outside.
I love it. That's awesome. I get it. But no, I'm not a fan. Not a fan of baseball.
Yeah, that's for me.
I am blown away. I think y'all are the only guests that we've had that had six out of six.
Oh my gosh. Much less
that I had the same six answers. That is, oh my gosh, that's grounds for another shot. we come up with any reason for a shot on this show. So anyway. Well, thank you guys
so much for being on both Feral and Fabulous.
This has been amazing.
Fabulous.
Yes, awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you guys for tuning in again. And we will see you on the next episode of Feral and Fabulous. Bye.